Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cauveri Seed Company's Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference call will be recorded. Joining us today on this call is Mr. Mithun Chand, Executive Director. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mithun Chand. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to our quarter three and 9 months financial year 2023 earnings conference call. We hope you have had a chance to review the presentation of our results, which is also available on the website. I will touch upon the operational financial performance of the company and then open the floor for the question and answer session. We are delighted to declare good results for both quarter three and 9 months financial year 2023. We have witnessed higher area coverage during the quarter in two of the large segments, rice and wheat, which has resulted in good revenue growth. Besides this, there has been good revenue growth registered in cotton, hybrid rice, maize, vegetables, and all other seed segments. Another major achievement during the quarter and 9 months result that is we were able to convert volume growth into revenue growth across the segments. As a part of our rewarding our shareholders during the quarter, the company had successfully completed the buyback of 23,99,831 shares of 2 rupees each for an aggregate amount of rupees 125.37 crores. There was a margin expansion in 9 months financial year 23. EBITDA margin was up by 378 basis points and PAT margin was up by 409 points. This is a very encouraging sign and we would be able to maintain the margins going forward. Overall response for increasing hybridization, increasing share of new products in each segment has good results in the current year and in the coming years. I would now like to touch upon on operational highlights for the quarter. Quarter revenues increased by 6.2% in the non-cotton segment. Hybrid rice and maize revenues increased by 117.1% and 46.5% respectively. Hybrid paddy KPH 468 scaled up across the market, which has resulted in volume and market share gain. Paddy higher area is reported from the states of Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Assam, Orissa, Karnataka and Telangana. The contribution of new products was up from 19.73% to 34.29% in the overall volumes of maize. Wheat has reported 2.86 lakh hectares compared to 278.25, which has resulted in 8.2 lakh acres more. Exports continue to be strong, presently exporting to Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Vietnam. Quarter 3 financial 23 highlights, financial highlights. Revenues from operation was at 123.49 crores as compared to 102.08 crores in quarter 3 financial 23, registered a growth of 20.97%. EBITDA was at 43.95 crores as compared to 16.32 crores in quarter 3 financial 23. Increased by 160.31%. Net profit was at 37.54 crore as compared to 9.08 crore in quarter 3, financial year 23. Registered a growth of 313.24%. EBITDA margin was up, was at 35.59%, up by 1960 basis points. PAT margin was at 30.40%, up by 2150 basis points. 9 months financial year 23 highlights. Revenue was at 939.93 crores as against rupees 860.44 crores for 9 months financial year 20. Registered for 9 months financial year 23 registered a growth of 9.24%. The EBITDA was at rupees 3.367 crores, up by 23.69% on a year-on-year basis. PAT stood at rupees 280.93 crores, up by 26.55%. EBITDA margin was at 32.31%, up by 378 basis points. PAT margin was at 29.89%, up by 409 points. Cash and book stands at 403 crores. Government's commitment to support Indian research and encouraging approvals given by them for the indigenously developed new hybrid and advanced seed varieties are going to be a game changer for us in the coming years. This would go a long way in overall growth of the company, and we are expecting revolutionary technology changes in seed as a segment from both domestic and international research efforts. We would like to reiterate again that we are a strong R&D company and have been agile in bringing multiple new variants across the seed segments. I would now open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The first question is on the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Would like to understand where are we on the regulatory front for GLP?
Answered, Nitin. Sorry, your voice is not very clear.
Hello, is it more audible now?
There is still an echo, but yes, you may try and go ahead.
Okay, just give me a second, one second.
Hello, is this better?
Yes, slightly better, yeah.
Okay. So just wanted to understand where are we on the regulatory front when it comes to GM mustard and STBT cotton. If you could give us a purview of where we stand, where the government stands, and how probable is the commercialization of the same?
Yeah, if you see in the last two quarters, there's a movement in the action from the government. The GAC is also moving in terms of introducing the new technologies. Most probably they are likely to introduce BG2 RRF in the next one or two seasons. There's a continuous meetings which are happening with both the technology providers, government, and from the private players. So there's a combination of this thing. What we see is that a lot of positivity is in the last two quarters. We, as a company, we are expecting that the technology will come very soon.
Got it, sir. So, also on HTBT cotton, so you're saying there is no commercial light, green light being given by the approval agency as of now? Because if I'm not wrong, GEAC did approve it.
No, this is still under trials. So most of the trials are completed. The commercialization, the license need to be given by the government for the commercialization, then everything will fall under it. We are waiting for the approval of the GAC, which is the authority for giving the approvals for the technology provider, not for the individual provider.
Okay.
Notice
understood. That's all the questions from my side.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev B. Zarpade from Dream Ladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, request you to use the handset. There's some static that is coming from your line.
Hello?
Yes. It's better now. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. So I wanted to know about the cash on the balance sheet now that we have completed the buyback.
So they, as on 31st December, the cash is 403 crores. That's after the completion of the buyback. We have completed a buyback in the last week of December.
Okay. Can you throw some light on the competitive landscape and are we in a position to pass on price increases in the future?
It's a highly competitive market. The competition is between both the domestic and the international players. We have all the international players present in India. It's not now, it's from the last 3-4 decades they are present. As a company, we are competing with both domestic and international players in the respective crops, and we are able to gain market shares, and we are able to realize much better than most of the companies. And as you all know, that seed is the most important part of the entire agriculture, and it costs less than 5% of the total input cost in most of the crops. Mm-hmm. Spending the money for the seed is not an issue with the farmer, because that derives the entire yield. So usually the farmer doesn't compromise on seed, and usually we are able to pass it on to the farmer, and I think it will continue going forward. We don't see any challenges in it.
Right, sir. And whether these kind of margins that we have achieved in current fiscal, are they achievable in the next couple of years, or can we even maybe better from current level?
If you see the previous last 8-10 years, if you compare our margins, always they were sustainable. In between, there were 1 or 2 years where the margins were under pressure, because as we were dealing with cotton and cotton was regulated, we had some issues in a couple of years. But if you see, always our margins remain in between the 28% to 30%, and we are pretty confident that those margins will remain and it is maintainable. As we go up and scale up our sales, even there's a chance that there's a slightly improvement in the margins going forward. But for sure, this can be maintainable.
Right, sir. And sir, if I look at your long-term, financial performance, we did a peak revenue of 1100 crore in March 2015. And we are still below that level. And during this period, even the stock price has kind of, moved in a very range-bound fashion. It's almost at the 7-year, level what it was. So, how do we see as an investor the next 3-4 years, whether there could be, there is a possibility of a quantum jump from here? Are there any triggers? What kind of comfort you can share with us?
There are a couple of things to see in it. One, when we have done 2014-15, the peak revenue, the quarter contributed close to 75%. Mm-hmm. The cotton as such as a crop. Non-cotton contributed only 25%. From there, there were so many issues regarding cotton, and the acreages were at the peak at that particular year. The cotton acreages were down by more than 20% from the year. In fact, more than 25%. The cotton was at 14.5 million that year. And now it's right now around the 10.5, 11 million hectares. And there was a price cut in cotton seed. And we lost market share in some crops. So it's all resulted in the decline in the revenue. But the other part of the thing, what we need to see is that from 25% to we have gone to 70% plus, close to 70% in non-cotton crops.
Okay.
So wherein we have improved realizations, where we have see a continuous growth. And these are the crops which are growing in India. For example, if you take rice, rice is grown in 44 million hectares, out of which only 5 or 6 million hectares is hybridized. These are the crops which are in the growing phase, and we are gaining market shares in those crops, and we have very good pipeline hybrids in the crops. Not only cotton, in maize. Maize is also growing. We are growing in maize on all segments. Earlier, we were present only in kharif segment. Now, we have moved to rabi segment also. And if you see, both maize and cotton, maize and rice are comparable with cotton sales now. And the other segments, even vegetables, we are growing. Sunflower, vegetable, braja, this simultaneously we are growing in those crops. But they may not be as big as these crops, because most of the Indian hybrid market market shares are for these three crops. So what I mean to say is that we are big in those three crops, and we are also big in the other small segment crops. Going forward, what we see, we are in a much healthier position than what we were earlier. As a company, we were more dependent on cotton in 2014-15. Now we are not dependent on any crop, but we are there and big in most of the crops in India. So that's a very encouraging sign. And moreover, we have strengthened our R&D in the last 6, 7, 8 years. We were having R&D, but we are spending more in R&D, and we have many good pipeline hybrids, which gives us confidence to grow going forward for the next 5 to 10 years. And the other part we need to see in between, even the technologies were not introduced in the last 5-6 years. It's all moving in the last 6-8 months. So that's a very good sign for the entire industry.
Right, sir. And sir, just last question from my side. Has this change in product mix anything to do with the steady increase in working capital days over the last 7-8 years? Like I can see it's almost 172 days in March 22 as compared to around 30 or 29 days some 7-8 years back. Does it have anything to do with
nothing? Nothing. So it will remain based on the seasonality, based on those things we need to give. But I don't see much of a change in that. And if you see whatever cash we have generated in the last 6-7 years, even though the stock price was not performing or we were not able to grow, but we have done 5 buybacks in the last 5 years, wherein we have extinguished close to 20% of our equity. And if you see the quantum which was distributed to shareholders in terms of the buyback or in terms of the dividend, it is close to 1,100 crores.
Okay, that's very good. Great. Thank you, sir, for answering my question. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical VMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, firstly, on behalf of all the shareholders, I want to thank the management and promoters for regular buybacks. And since the past 2 years, the company is doing open market share buyback wherein the promoters are not participating. So it is even more creditable and shows the confidence of the management in the company and the prospects. So thank you very much once again. Sir, just wanted to understand, sir, taking from the previous caller, sir, we appreciate the reasons why after 2015, the company went in a sort of a lean patch due to the regulatory changes, which were detrimental to our interests. Sir, but the question is that trailing 12 months, we are doing approximately 240 to 50 crore EBITDA, whereas in FY15, we did around 307 crore EBITDA. So in your judgment, you think that in FY24, company, if everything goes as per the plan, the company can exceed this all-time high EBITDA of around 300 crore that we did in FY15?
What is the percentage? I just need to see. But the calculation what we have as of now from where we stand, we will grow in between 15 to 20% on year-on-year basis. That's how the calculation is. You have to do the math. But we are pretty confident that that will continue for long.
Sir, and also, sir, in the past, not in the third quarter, but in the first two quarters of this financial year, sir, we had seen price erosion in our seeds. So is that behind us? And the kind of revenue growth we are seeing, sir, if you could just bifurcate broadly into realization growth and volume growth?
Yeah, compared to previous year, there are a couple of things that we need to be noticed. In some crops, we have not realized well compared to previous year. In some crops, we have realized well. For example, in hybrid rice, we are not able to realize well compared to previous year, even though there was a volume growth. In maize, we were able to realize more. In cotton, there was a price increase, but because of the competition as a part, this was the lowest realization in the last 6-7 years for us in cotton. In spite of all those things, as we have done good sales in other crops which are high profitable, we were able to increase our margins. Going forward with the mix what we have and with the crops where we are lost, where we are not able to realize well, we have pretty much scope of increasing more, increasing realization in those crops. That gives us more confidence that we will be able to maintain. In fact, it may exceed from the present levels.
Great, sir. Sir, and lastly, wanted to understand about the vegetable segment. Sir, since there are so many vegetables, sir, I don't know how big is our portfolio, how much of the vegetable crops we are covering. Sir, but the 9-month revenues of 35 crore, sir, which are roughly like 3.5% of our total revenue. So is there in your judgment, is there scope that in due course, the revenue from vegetables can become 10% or even beyond of the total revenue of the company?
Vegetables is one of the most important portfolio what we have. Vegetables is growing at more than 20% at the industry level, 15 to 20% at the industry level, and we have pretty much scope in that. Even in vegetables, majority of the market shares are by hot pepper, tomato, and okra. These are the three crops which contribute more than 50% of the total revenue. So we are basically concentrating on three crops initially, and apart from that, we are doing some goats and cauliflower and vegetable where we are importing. As such, vegetable, we are very bullish on vegetable. Vegetable will definitely contribute to more than 10% of the revenue in the next 3 to 4 years for us.
Great, sir. And sir, also, sir, apart from these segments that we have given of hybrid rice, selection rice, maize, vegetables, others, sir, is there any other blockbuster product in the pipeline which can, which you think can dramatically, step up our revenue trajectory going forward?
If you see the crops, what we mentioned there, cotton, rice, maize, and vegetables, this contribute to majority of the Indian market, hybrid seed market. This contribute to close to more than 90% of the market share. We have very good production out of these four. Apart from this, we are into sunflower, mustard, bajra, wheat, which falls in the 10%. So in all the segments we are there, but we only highlight these four crops because these have the majority market shares.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samrit from Value Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to know what is the volume growth in the non-cotton segment? If you could share the numbers for hybrid rice, selection rice, maize and vegetables.
Those are all there on the website in the presentation. As of now, I don't have the volumes, but in all crops, we have grown. It's better to volume growth is one of the aspects, but the other thing is also we need to also see the revenue growth. There are some crops, usually in Rabi, where in the value, the revenue is pretty high than what we sell in Paris.
Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Anurag Jain, as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, sir. My first question relates to the vegetable business. In financial year 2002 annual report, company had given a guidance of revenue of 65 crores for the vegetable seed business. Now, in the first 9 months, company has achieved around 35 crores of revenue for in the vegetable seed business. So, would you stand by with the old guidance or what is the updated guidance and how do you see the rest of the year for the different seed segments? Even though I know it's a basically a lean business in terms of lean quarter.
Basically, we are pretty confident about the vegetable business in the fourth quarter. Usually, the vegetables usually come in the fourth quarter. So, we are pretty confident, but in that sort of a figure, we need to see what to what extent we can achieve. But it is, as of now, we are in on our targets.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And sir, my second question relates to the other income in the quarter. Given that the company has financial assets of around 400 crores and probably at the start of the quarter it would have been 600 crores before prior to the buyback. So on an average of 500 crores of assets, the other income during the quarter of almost 31 crores or 30 crore plus. So if you could, is there some one-time entry there or if, what would explain the jump in the other income of all 32 crores in the quarter?
If you see the quarter, it looks higher, but if you say a year-on-year basis, last time it was like 38-40 crores for the entire year.
Right.
This time it's like, so for the 9 months, it's like 47 or 48. It should be other 5-10 crores more in the fourth quarter. That all depends on what we redeem. Basically, you all know it all depends on when we have invested and what time it's getting expired. That's how the redemption comes into the quarters. And apart from that, we had a buyback in the third quarter, so we need to redeem money for that. But also resulted in more of another income. But on a year-on-year basis, 40 to 50 crores, what we were getting, that's what we get at the end of the day. 5 or 10 crores plus minus based on the date of investment and maturity date.
Okay. And one last question, sir. During the quarter, was there any recovery from there were some outstanding receivables with government corporations which were earlier provisioned for. So was there any recovery during this quarter?
A few amounts have been recovered, but not significant. But it's in the process of recovering. But to answer to your question, we have not provided for any other extra provision for this quarter.
Okay, so in this quarter, neither there is any significant recovery or nor there is any provision.
Yes. But we are pretty confident that will come.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you. This is for all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
So going through the government documentation, one comes to know that there has been approvals given for genetically modified potato and also banana. Is there any seriousness from the government to push these crops, or are these on the experimental level?
That all depends. All the crops will follow. If they give clearance for any vegetable, for example, mustard is an edible crop. They are talking about GM mustard as well. If it is given to mustard, every crop will follow it. It's not only banana, tomato is there, brinjal is there. All crops will follow.
It's on a back burner for some time now, but...
There was a debate saying that the cotton is a non-edible crop. That's the reason they have not encouraged any permission for the edible crops. Now they are talking about GM mustard, so which is an edible crop. If they give any permission or license or any sort of a trialing, then all the crops will be eligible for that.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. We have the next question as a follow-up question from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand whether any new developments have been there on the tax demand notice that we had received last quarter of 71 crores pertaining to FY21. Sir, any new developments or what are we hearing from our legal team regarding that?
See, the last quarter itself we have mentioned that we have went for an appeal for it. You know the court, how much time will it take? Whenever the result is there, we'll definitely inform the exchanges at the moment we get it.
Okay, sir. And sir, also, are there any plans to get into fruit seeds?
As of now, no. We don't have any focus on that, but we are into vegetables, whether you call it fruit or not. I don't know, because we are into watermelon.
Okay, sir. Sir, and any plans to get into hydroponics?
As of now, no.
Okay, sir. Sir, and also, sir, in our last year's annual report, sir, we had borrowed some small quantum of money from Department of Biotechnology at 2% per annum. Sir, so is there any possibility that we can really scale up this funding from this source, since it is a negligible cost of 2%?
We don't require fund as such, because we have enough cash on the books and we are a zero debt company. That's the only thing where we are taken, because government funding and government research program is there. For that, we were having it, we are availing it. It's a very 2 crore loan. It's a very insignificant loan.
No, sir. So that's what I'm saying. That I mean, like, we don't need funds. We already have excess funds. But even if we can borrow at 2% and invest in liquid mutual funds, also still we can earn a
need. No. That activity we don't do. That is specified for that particular fund.
Great, sir. Sir, and also, sir, the CSR funds that we are using, sir, is there any possibility of using those funds to increase our visibility and goodwill in our major markets?
Basically, CSR funds should not be spent for the company's branding or something. But that's one of the norms for the CSR. But we are investing in most of the education and the skill, rural skill employment and skill development and rural infrastructure.
Sir, and
basically, we are spending for education.
Okay, sir. And sir, what kind of approximate CapEx program do we have over the next, let's say, 1 year?
Year on year, it will be between like 25 to 30 odd crores. As we have more, majority of the investment work is already done in the new office, it's only for the research work we need to spend. That year on year, 25 to 30 crores, that should be sufficient. That's what we are doing for the last 6, 7, 8 years.
So this is R&D CapEx you are talking about?
Across company. Now, CapEx majority goes for the processing or R&D. We are building up an again R&D biotechnology plant. For that, we require CapEx now. That will be within the 25 to 30 crores on a year-on-year basis.
Okay. Sir, and also, sir, our subsidiaries, sir, we have not really been able to scale up the revenue from our subsidiaries, which were around 55 crore in FY22 after like 9 years. Sir, so going forward, sir, firstly, sir, what is the major business of these subsidiaries? And sir, also, what is the possibility of really scaling it up going forward?
If you see the subsidiaries year on year, they are growing. Most of the subsidiaries deal with cotton, was dealing with cotton earlier, and we have seen a dent in the cotton. But even in that scenario, subsidiaries have done well in terms of the cotton sale. And most of the research is done in the main company, wherein we have some competitive products where we see where Kaveri cannot promote and they are unique. That product is marketing the subsidiary products, subsidiary companies. So they are also gaining, and we are pretty sure that that will also go up. And if you see on year-on-year basis, they are going. Compared to previous year, also this year, they have grown both. All the subsidiaries have grown compared to the previous year.
Great. So thank you very much, Investor.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Jain. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. This is more of a request rather than a question. In last 5-7 years, the company's product range has expanded significantly, but this is not reflected on the company's website. So if you could consider updating the company's website and to bring the core product portfolio shown on the website in line with what you have in the market already. Especially
they are already there, but sure, anyhow, I'll recheck it, and if something is missing, definitely we'll update. Thanks for this suggestion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Modi. As an industry investor, please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my question is relating to gene editing technology which has been allowed in India, and there is no oppose regarding to that. How much is the company prepared to deal with it? Is it the company is looking for collaboration with gene editing technology patent holder companies, or is it like the company has applied for gene editing or something? Or will it pose threat to the hybrids which the company is already into?
We are open for ties with companies. Now the most of new technologies, the gene editing technology is coming now. CRISPR is the one which deals with it. We are already exploring some options in that, but it will take some time. But we are open for it, for your question.
Okay. Does it pose a threat to our hybrid portfolio, existing portfolio? Does it compete our portfolio?
See, when the new technology comes in, definitely most of the companies upgrade to those technologies. Usually the companies adapt those technologies, whichever is better, for the better results. That's what we do in hybridization. Even if you take any hybrids, if there's any good germplasm or if any new issue turns up, definitely we'll bid for that one. So definitely most of the companies will upgrade to those technologies. And I don't think that's a threat for the existing hybrid. The only thing that might be replaced with the new technologies. For example, if you take cotton, when the genetically modified crops came in, most of the hybrids moved to genetically modified hybrids.
Okay, that is very well understood. Okay, one more thing I want to ask. Like, what are some special, effort given for exports to increase our exports?
We are very, on exports, we are pretty much bullish on exports. We are exporting to neighboring countries, Southeast and even the African countries.
We see a lot of opportunity there, and some of the products are very, very much accepted there. And going forward, definitely you see a good revenue growth in exports also. But it will take time, as we need to test our products in other countries. The registration itself takes 3 to 5 years in most of the companies. We are already in the process of registering it in some companies, and we are marketing to some other companies there.
Okay.
But definitely you'll see increase in the revenue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. Thank you for joining the conference call. For any further queries or meetings, please be in touch with Rama Naidu from Intellect PR on his mobile number 9920209623. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.